It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Immigration, crime, and border issues make up a large part of both the Republican and Democratic arguments and platforms in the presidential election. But are they arguing about the same thing? One could be talking about illegal border crossing, which is a federal crime, or crossing the border to seek asylum, which is not a crime. One could focus on particular individual instances of crimes committed by immigrants or on bigger picture numbers that suggest immigrants are less likely to commit crimes. Our next guest says these and other immigration topics are often blurred together in political debates. Michael T. Light is a professor of sociology and Chicano Latino studies at UW-Madison. His research includes data analysis of crime and immigration statistics. Michael, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
All right. Immigration and crime, big topics, often emotional topics, especially in an election season. When we hear politicians talking about immigration and crime, what kind of messages are we usually hearing?
Well, it depends on who's talking and it depends on who they're talking to. So what I often find, and I think this is true generally, is that oftentimes, depending on whether sort of, you know, more on the right side or more on the left side, oftentimes they're talking past one another. They're usually not, when they talk about immigration and crime, they're usually not talking about the exact same thing. And so what, Donald Trump is obviously one of the loudest voices. He certainly made immigration a central pillar of all of his runs for the presidency, including his actual presidency. And one of the things he talks about correctly, he talks about immigrants. He talks about immigrants who have committed crimes. And so if the argument is, have immigrants committed crimes in the United States? Have undocumented immigrants committed crimes in the United States? The answer is, of course, yes. Have those crimes been committed? Yes. But then the sort of response on the more left, or you know, what you might hear from both the Biden campaign and now the Harris campaign, almost certainly from the Harris campaign, although you know it's very nascent, is that this idea that immigrants are committing a disproportionate amount of crime, that immigrants are more likely to commit crime, or that crime rates go up when immigration is high or cities with lots of immigrants, there the answer appears to be no. And I could talk about that research in terms of how we know this, or at least why we, you know, we think we have some pretty good evidence for this. But it's pretty clear that, again, they're arguing past one another. And so both of those things can be true. Yes, immigrants have committed crimes, and immigrants could commit less crimes than native-born U.S. citizens or commit at the exact same rate. And both those can be true. But again, so that's what I talk about when I say it really seems to matter who's – they seem to be making different points.
Well, let's dive into that research you've done. This question, and it's harder to tackle in some cases than we might think of, do immigrants – and that can have a lot of subcategories to it, but do immigrants commit more crimes? How do we start to even measure that?
Sure. So this topic of immigration and crime has been really core to what criminologists have done for more than a century. There, the answer has been quite consistently no. We've seen this when we measure things like incarceration rates. And one of the ways that we know that is because every 10 years, we do a census. And the census not only counts everybody, or it's intended to count everybody, but it also counts where they are. So we can actually see, is this person incarcerated? Is this person, you know, are we doing the census at their home, whatever it might be? And there we can see things like crime rates, offending rates. Incarceration rates tend to be lower amongst foreign-born individuals. And that's been fairly consistent in a lot of the work looking at just the sort of dichotomy of foreign-born, native-born. Now, of course, the more controversial aspect, or I would say the most controversial aspect of the immigration crime debates, center on the area that we know the least amount, and that is undocumented immigration, right? And for obvious reasons, this is a very difficult population to study because they're undocumented, right? It's very difficult to get sort of quality data. And so some of my work has been trying to sort of shine light on this very understudied area of specifically looking at undocumented immigration. And the first one we did was what you might call a more macro level study. And so there that's asking questions like, why is crime higher in some cities than others? Or what happens to crime in some cities when, you know, immigration goes up? And so it was only fairly recently in the past, I would say, I'll call it about 10 years or so, but even that is perhaps even a little generous, that we've actually had pretty quality estimates of the size of the undocumented population at the state level, right? So you see reports by the Department of Homeland Security and the Pew Research Center, a few other places. And again, they don't all agree on the exact number, but they tend to fairly agree on a fairly close estimate, right? And so, like today, the most recent estimate as of 2022 is about 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the United States. And again, that has a margin of error. But what we did in this first study that was published in the journal Criminology in 2018 was we had state-level data of the undocumented population, and we had data from 1990 to 2014. And that's actually a dramatic growth in the undocumented population during that period. And we said, okay, during this period, did this have an effect on violent crime? So the title of the paper is, Does Undocumented Immigration Increase Violent Crime? And the short answer is no. And so what we looked at this in myriad different ways. We looked at different types of violent crime, so murder, rape, robbery, aggravated assault. We broke it down by certain categories. We looked at, you know, some states. We looked at all states. We sort of tried to slice it a lot of different ways. And generally speaking, what we found is that as undocumented immigration increased, it tended to have a negative effect on violent crime, meaning that violent crime tends to go down. But that was not a very strong or a very well estimated effect. And so what we can say is there's very little evidence to suggest that it increases violent crime.
Right. I mean, that time period you said, in my mind, immediately makes me think we had this peak in violent crime in the United States in the 80s into the 90s. And when you look at the long-term charts, it's plummeted a lot of violent crimes in that time period. We can't go so far as to say undocumented immigrants cause a decrease in violent crime, but they didn't, as you said, seem to cause it to increase.
That's exactly right. And in fact, so you're right. So during particularly the 1990s, right? And so there's actually been lots of really good books. It's kind of referred to in social sciences, the Great American Crime Decline, right? So the 1990s witnessed this really dramatic reduction in violent crimes across the board, and property crimes as well, but really violence. Homicide rates plummeted during this period. And so if the argument is that undocumented immigration, you know, increases violent crime or leads to more murders, at a minimum, those two trends are inconvenient for that argument, right? So at the same time homicide rates were plummeting, we see undocumented immigration increasing dramatically. And you're absolutely correct that you can't just sort of look at those two lines and say, oh, well, obviously undocumented immigration reduces violence. That would be far too simplistic. But like I said, but certainly those two data trends do not go in the direction of the argument that undocumented immigration increases violence.
Then you were able to zoom in further research on one state that kept apparently better records than most states, and that's the state of Texas right there on the border. What were you able to look at and what did you find?
Sure. So Texas is very unique for a variety of reasons. One is obviously it's a very large state. It is a large immigration state, and it is, of course, on the U.S.-Mexico border. So there is a lot of undocumented immigration going across into the state of Texas. But what we did is we were able to look at specifically arrests for undocumented immigrants, and then what you might call lawful or documented immigrants, and then we look at native-born U.S. citizens. And so the reason why we're able to do that is because Texas retains the information. So one of the things that has been a very one of the dramatic changes that we've seen in immigration enforcement is the increasing use of local law enforcement to identify immigration violators. And I can give you a little bit of background of how this happens. Is, long story short, is very common when somebody's arrested. Again, this happens in Wisconsin. It happens everywhere. When you get arrested, they usually will take you down for booking. When they book you, they send your biographic information, so your fingerprints, things like that. They send it to the FBI to see if you have any outstanding warrants other places, which makes sense. If you're wanted for, whatever, a suspected homicide in the state of Maine, Wisconsin wants to know that for no other reason, just so they don't let you go if they catch you on a DUI or something like that. But once the FBI has that information, they then share that with the DHS, and they check that against what's called the IDENT database. And this is essentially their database for immigration violators. And so that actually was a program that was really put into place under the Obama administration called the Secure Communities Program. It's gone through several iterations. Secure Communities is not a thing anymore, but the sharing of biometric information still very much is. So what that means is that most people who are on the radar of Department of Homeland Security and ICE officials, they got that way because of a local arrest. And again, that just is just a simple matter of bandwidth. There's far more local law enforcement than there is ICE officials. And so for the federal government, they viewed this as just a matter of efficiency. And so what happens is once those records are recorded and a local arrest is made, then that information is sent to the federal government. The federal government then returns that data to Texas. And what's unique about Texas is they retain that in their information. So not only were we able to see all of the people booked in the state of Texas over this period, so we looked at from 2012 to 2018, but then we also had this information from the DHS, and they came back. It was very simple. The code simply just said legal or illegal was the code there. So then we were able to see, okay, now we actually can see who are the undocumented immigrants, who are the, you know, at least the documented immigrants, according to DHS, and then who are the native-born U.S. citizens. And basically what we found there is now that we have this information, the short story is that undocumented immigrants were far less likely to be arrested for really any felony. And this was definitely true against, you know, you can look at any crime that we sort of looked at. We looked at myriad, including homicide, we looked at sexual assault, we looked at traffic offenses. And so what we found is that undocumented immigrants tend to have much lower rates of felony arrests. We also looked at this, whether this was true for misdemeanors, it was. We also looked at whether it was true for convictions, it was. And so there we were one of the first to be able to shine light on this question of, are undocumented immigrants specifically more likely to engage in criminal activity? And the answer we found is generally no. And so that was one of the ways that we were able to sort of zoom in on this specific population.
What would have to change here in Wisconsin for the state to have comparable data that someone like you could break down and try to tackle the same questions?
Well, it actually is not that heavy of a lift. And so because Wisconsin already collects the same information, again, all states collect this information in terms of what we think of as sort of criminal history, or at least most states collect criminal history information, again, which makes a lot of sense. And again, anyone who's ever been in the state of Wisconsin has been pulled over. The first thing they do is they ask you for your driver's license, and then they usually go back to their car. Well, they're not, you know, playing solitaire on their computers. They're actually running your record to see if you have any outstanding warrants. Well, what that means is they're searching a database to see, does this person have this warrants? What that means is there's a criminal history database here in Wisconsin. And so we would have that data in terms of who's been arrested, what their criminal history is, where were they booked, what were they arrested for, and then you can follow them. You can see, was this person charged with a crime, things like that. So that data is already there. What we would need is we would need to have this sort of extra data that comes from the Department of Homeland Security, where Wisconsin would have to essentially say, like, yeah, we're going to collect this information when you send it back to us and then keep it linked to these people's records. So that way you could look at things like arrest rates for undocumented immigrants. And so, again, it's not impossible for that to come about.
We are talking about immigration and crime with Michael Light, professor of sociology at UW-Madison. I want to turn to the border, and let's get there by way of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. PBS News interviewed delegates about their take on former President Trump's stance on immigration. Here's a Wisconsin delegate, Chris Linker, and what he had to say.
The border is a big issue to me. I think the fact that we're disrespecting this country in a way that we are literally letting anyone walk in and do whatever they want. These are not bad people. We're not saying they're bad people. We want to give them a chance to come in, but can we do it right? Can we also give them a real chance instead of them sneaking in and then feeling left alone or left helpless? That is literally what the Democrats are doing. They're literally just trying to flood the gates.
Michael, a lot there in that clip. Your thoughts on the issue of the border and how Republicans and Democrats are arguing about border enforcement?
Sure. So if you actually look at the trends in border encounters, again, it's not that it wasn't happening. In fact, there was a pretty large spike in 2019 under President Trump in terms of border encounters. But what we're seeing is we're seeing, again, absolutely record highs in terms of border encounters over the past, say, 2 years under the Biden administration. Now, that's partly because many people are not actually even trying to sneak in. It's that they're actually crossing with the intent of essentially communicating with border enforcement so they can claim asylum. And that is because the Biden administration actually has changed the rules about whether or not people can stay while their asylum claims are being adjudicated. And what we have seen is a very large spike in asylum claims, and we've seen a huge spike in the backlog of asylum cases in immigration court that's going to take a very long time for us to clear just as a country. Actually, just I believe it was June 4th of this year, President Biden issued an order really cracking down on asylum claims and the ability to claim asylum if you've come in the country undocumented. We've seen a substantial drop in the past month or so of both border encounters and asylum claims. And so in that sense, there's some truth to the idea of, or at least it is borne out in the data, that there is a substantive change on what is happening at the border, at least from the Trump to the Biden administration.
Staying with our theme of crime and immigration, I want to talk about a couple different circumstances of border crossing. You mentioned somebody crossing the border trying to evade detection and get into the United States. That would be a crime, as I understand it. Somebody crossing the border, maybe not at a standard point of entry, but presenting themselves to someone to request asylum, we couldn't really call that illegal or a crime under the law, as I understand it. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, so it would be undocumented, and but if you come in and claim asylum, yes, the law states that they have to essentially adjudicate that asylum claim.
Now, that was a change in the Biden administration policy. A former President Trump has talked about from day one, in effect, large-scale deportations of people. Do we know who he's talking about there? Is it that undocumented asylum seeker who is in the United States? Is it someone who has crossed illegally and not been detected until more recently? Do we have a sense of who that would apply to?
It's extremely difficult to sort of pin down exactly. I mean, and I think it varies from sort of press conference and rally to press conference and rally. So previously, when President Trump was first running for office, he made quite clear that essentially all undocumented immigrants in the United States were he was, you know, looking to engage in mass deportation. That clearly didn't happen, but they absolutely did increase border enforcement. There was an increase in arrests by ICE agents. And so you definitely saw a renewed activity of border enforcement under the Trump administration, nowhere near on the scale of the Obama administration's. One of the things that's important, I think, to talk about, or at least in the conversation of deportation and crime, is that actually does give us some leverage. And people have looked at this. So this is not my work. This is other people who have basically asked this exact question of, does border enforcement reduce crime? And so both of these researchers, independently, they kind of were just studying this at the same time. Both sets of studies very clearly showed secure communities just had no effect on the overall crime rate. So it led to arrests. It led to people being deported. But if the argument is that those deportations are now going to, say, make the crime rate in Madison or the crime rate in Milwaukee or Chicago, wherever it is, that the crime rate's going to go down because of those deportations, it's simply not borne out in the data. Part of the reason for that is because many of those deportations involved people committing pretty non-serious crimes. So the largest group of people who are identified through that program were traffic offenders. These are people who, again, were in the country undocumented, you know, perhaps been previously deported, but they kind of came on the radar of the DHS this time because they were, you know, whatever it might have been, arrested for reckless driving. And sometimes, you know, and there are these stories of people, you know, quite literally people with, oh, you know, didn't blink correctly or, you know, headlight was out. And then they find out, oh, you missed a, you know, an immigration court date, and they ended up getting deported. Well, that person probably didn't pose a very large risk to public safety already, which helps explain why things like secure communities did not decrease violent crime. And another sort of data point worth noting is that, so in 2020, I mean, you know, for obvious, you know, COVID and the you know, every social process that we could name obviously was disrupted during this period. But of course, that was true of the border as well. So, you know, substantial, you know, border crossings, you know, dropped to a trickle during 2020. During that same year, we saw the largest increase in homicide on record, right? So homicides increased by about 30% that year. That had nothing to do with immigration, right? So those, you know, various data points really offer at least some insight into whether or not immigration and crime are really sort of causally linked. And like I said, so when we see these huge spikes in crime, they don't seem to correlate necessarily with immigration. Then when we see, you know, dramatic decreases in crime and immigration is going up, including undocumented immigration, that's inconsistent with this view. So there are, again, there is a body of evidence and sort of that really substantiate this view.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Michael T. Light is a professor of sociology and Chicano Latino studies at UW-Madison. We talked about immigration, crime, and border issues and how they fit into this year's presidential election.